Christians regularly attend church because as human beings, we were created to regularly worship God with others. Let's go to the scripture so you know where we got this. Isn't that amazing? You were created for this. This is not some weird thing that you're trying to get into. You were created for it. Oh, well, if you were created for it, we should be pretty good at it. Maybe not. But let's go to the scripture. You see, Colossians 1:16 says this. Listen, it says, "For through him, God created everything, through Jesus, in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him." Human beings were created for him. You and I were created to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isaiah 43:21, we read this. It says, "The people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise." Can I say it again? You and I were created to praise and worship him. Do you understand something? The creator of all the universe created everything that he created with the ability to worship and praise him. The rocks, the trees, the oceans, the stars, and you and I were created with the ability to worship him. It says all of creation worships him. It says the trees of the field clap their hands. The mountains and the hills break forth into singing. Everything was created with the ability and purpose of worshiping him. I'm going to say this right off the bat. If a rock can praise him, no hands, no arms, no legs, no mouth, you can do better. I don't even know how a rock would praise him. Jesus said, if my followers don't praise me, the rocks will cry out with praise. Wow. When you're walking along and you kick that rock, just remember, if you don't praise, they will. John 4:23. "Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and truth." My point from this verse tonight is the Father God seeks people to worship him. He desires it. He longs for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. You and I were created to worship him, and it's the reason we regularly attend church. Now maybe you're thinking, well, is church the only place? No, it isn't, but let's continue for a minute. You see, the Father God that we serve desires his people to worship him. And not just those in church. He created everything. He wants all people to worship him. Let me give you a few scriptures about how we worship so that you can see what I'm saying is biblical. You see, we worship publicly and regularly with praise and honor according to scripture. Psalms 95, 1-6 says this, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also his. The sea is his and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." This is the kind of worship and praise our God desires. And let me make this clear so you never forget it. You can't have an us all by yourself. So, well, I can worship him at home. Yes, you can and you should, but he desires people to come together as an us and worship him as one. And you can't do that alone. You see, he wants us and our friends and our community to come together and worship him. And he wants it regularly, and we were created for it. Did you know that if you feel that life is a waste of time and there's no purpose, I can guarantee you, as a believer, you've been forgetting to worship with other people because you were created for it. It's your purpose. The whole world can be going wrong and you're weak. Everything can be happening. You get with some other people and you start worshiping, and I can tell you what, you just know this is what I was made for. This is why I'm here. This is why I go to church. If you come to church for the pastor, you will be let down at some point. Pastors are people and they make mistakes too. You come to worship him. You come for him. Psalm 150, 1-6 says this, hallelujah, yes, praise the Lord. Praise him in his temple, in the heavens he made with his mighty power. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequal greatness. Praise him with the trumpet and praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the drums and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and horns. Praise him with the cymbals. Yes, loud clanging cymbals. Let everything alive give praises to the Lord. You praise him. Hallelujah. Here's another picture in Scripture of how God wants his people to praise the Lord. Can I say this? He was not talking about a one-man band here. Well, that's really cool when the guy has the drum and the trumpet and the harmonica and he's... That's not what God was talking about. He was talking about people using their gifts, their ability in worship and coming together as one. And it pleases him. And it's what you and I were created for. And it's why we regularly come together at this place called church. You see, the definition of church is a group of people called out to come together in a public place. Hold on. Your house is not a public place. You can worship him. You can read the word. You can grow. You can learn. You can love your family, but it's not church. Let you and I come together with our gifts. Let us praise him. You see, there are no one-person church services. There are no one-person praise teams. There are no one-person churches because it is a group of people putting aside their differences, working with one another, forgiving one another, and that's what makes it beautiful. If we were all the same, if we could just come together and everybody did it the way you liked or I liked, it wouldn't be church. The very fact that makes it pleasing in God's eyes and to his heart is that you came even though you had to forgive somebody during the week. You came and you said, we will work together. We'll praise him as one. That's what pleases him. Did you know that? That's what makes it amazing worship. Because you and I have to forget it all and focus on him. 2 Chronicles 5 verse 12, we get another picture of God's desire for true worship. Solomon was dedicating the temple, the first temple, and they had a setup of music and worship that was going to take place to glorify God. In 2 Chronicles 5, verse 12, we read this. It says, the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and all their sons and brothers were dressed in fine linen robes and stood at the east side of the altar playing cymbals, lyres, and harps. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets. The trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and to give thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. They raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words. He is good. His faithful love endures forever. And at that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. We enter his presence with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And when people get together and worship, something happens. You see, we know when we look at this portion of Scripture, there was about 288 singers. By singers, they sang and they played cymbals and they played their version of guitars and percussion. 120 trumpeters, in other words, over 400 people were part of the worship team for that event. 400. And you thought, this was loud. Can you imagine 120 people on trumpets? Now, their trumpets were ram's horns, but they also did make trumpets of silver and gold. They wouldn't have had the cylinders like we do today, but they played them loud. And the cymbals. And then they began to sing. But here's the thing. They sang and they became as one. You know how you become one in worship? You forget about everything except the one you're worshiping. That's how you become one in worship. Isn't that amazing? You forget about your issues, your things, their things. It's all about Jesus. And you focus on him together and you become one and his presence will fill the place. I remember a number of years ago being part of a service, and I won't even mention who it was. Some of the old timers here will figure it out by the story, but it's not about the person. But there was a preacher in Edmonton coming and we went down to join this meeting. And at this meeting, they had salvation, they had worship. They actually had a choir of 1,000 people behind the platform, and then they had their worship team and the speaker. And I can remember the worship was powerful. People in unity coming together, and God's presence was so real. And I remember this preacher, and again, I'm just telling the story, right or wrong, doesn't matter, but I remember they were like, God's presence is thick. I believe he wants to touch everybody. Everybody stand up right now. Hold hands together. This was the auditorium, a stadium. Thousands of people. Everybody's holding hands. And he goes, God's presence is going to hit you right now. The worship was going. The choir was still singing. And he went, touch. And I will tell you, I'm a person that does not go for games or anything that's not real. And I was holding people's hands beside me, and all the next thing I remember is, I am sitting in my chair, and the entire stadium is sitting in their chair, and lots of people are sitting like this. The presence of God totally touched every person in the place. I believe the worship played a part in it. People united as one. There's something about worship that makes us forget about everything else and focus on him. And church, when we can do that, we're pleasing him. And you know what? He doesn't want it to be a once a month event. He doesn't want it to be, oh, Christmas and Easter event. Oh, he wants us to do it ourselves at home, yes, but he wants us to get together with others as regularly as we can. You see, we worship and praise him when we come together, and we do it regularly. We also worship publicly and regularly with our offering. Now, I realize today you can do e-transfers and you can give an offering and not even be here, but I'm going to tell you this, a true offering to the Lord means at some point you come and you give it to him in prayer. Do you know, I have seen people in church praying over their offering before they give it. Why is that? It's an act of worship. It's them saying, we've come together in this public place. We are willing to honor God with our finances together. It's a powerful thing. You know, we don't pass around anything here at the church. We let you do it before and after. But I'm telling you, there is something special about together pouring into something that God has spoken. And we will have opportunity to do that. Church, I want to say this, even if you do by e-transfer during the week or what your choice is, when you come to church, at some point pray and say, Lord, that offering I'm giving today, however you give it, or that offering I gave earlier in the week, I give it to you completely, and I thank you that you bless back because we've given it to you. Don't let it just be a thing like you're paying for a ticket. Let it be worship. So if I can encourage you today and ask you not to ever forget this, no matter when and how you do it, when you come together during the worship, if you need to, say, Lord, that thing that I gave, that amount, that finance, it's yours, and I thank you, you pour back into me. Lord, I offer it to you. I worship you with it. Do with it what you choose. Isaiah 56 and verse 7, I will bless the foreigners, this is God speaking through the prophet, who commit themselves to the Lord, who serve him and love his name, who worship him and do not desecrate the Sabbath day of rest, who hold fast to my covenant. I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem. I will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. You see, coming together regularly, we bring our offering. Now, in Old Testament times, they brought sacrifices as well because Jesus had not died to pay for sin. But they brought sacrifices and offerings and gave it freely to the Lord, and he poured back into their lives. Nehemiah 12, verse 43, many sacrifices were offered on that joyous day, for God had given the people cause for great joy. You see, the women and children also participated in the celebration, and the joy of the people of Jerusalem could be heard far away. Oh, some of these moments in history that God records in Scripture, I just wish I could have been there. Can you imagine being there? And you know what? Every time I say that to myself, I wish I could have been there. God says you still can. You can be there right now. You see, these momentous events and times were organized by leaders that God spoke to, and they said, we're going to do it like this. We're going to put it together, and the organization that happened and the people gathered together. You see, moments like this can only happen where God's people gather together. And they gave freely, and the joy that they felt was unbelievable, so much so that they got loud. Oh, God, you're good. They got loud in their rejoicing, so loud it could be heard far off. Have your neighbors ever heard you worship? Yeah. They might. Hopefully they didn't hear other stuff, like, you know, arguing. Some neighbors' decks are like right close to your window. I was like, Pastor, shh. Joy comes when God's people get together and say, yes, we're going to give to his purposes. Your offering matters, and you need to come together at times and say, this is what we're doing. And if you haven't had that opportunity, you've missed out. And you know what? God wants us to say, yes, together we'll take his kingdom forward. All right, let me keep moving. We worship publicly and regularly with others because we love the Lord. Okay, you say, where are you going? Can't I love the Lord anywhere? Yes, you can. But let me help you with this. Luke 7 and verse 44. This is the story of the woman who finds Jesus in the house where there's a group of people gathered at a meal. And she gets behind him and she washes his feet with her hair. She cries and she kisses his feet as well. She is worshiping him publicly. Now, let me tell you what Jesus says, because one of the leaders in the house was like, this woman is, you know, if Jesus knew who she was, he wouldn't let her do that. Luke 7, 44. Then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, Simon was the one, why is he letting her do this? Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. I'm reading this story to you because I want you to understand something about your love for Jesus. True love is not ashamed. True love wants to publicly show they love. For those of you who are married, remember you, maybe you remember going with your girlfriend or boyfriend early on, and boy, you would go anywhere as long as you could be there together, and you were not ashamed or afraid to show you loved them. You didn't mind holding hands or giving that kiss, whether you're at the restaurant or wherever you were. And it didn't matter if the food was really good. It didn't matter if the service was even very good. Didn't matter if the building was all that great. You went there because you loved somebody. And when you left, you're like, man, that was so amazing. Because you went with somebody you loved. If we can do that for a person, would that not be even much more for the one we love, Jesus? Because he first loved us. We come together publicly to worship him because we love him. And I'm going to say this to you today. The one who is forgiven much loves much. But can I say this also? The one who remembers how much they were forgiven still loves much. I've found over the years and seeing it that sometimes as Christians are longer Christians, they've been there for many years, they forget what they've been brought from. And it shows in their worship. Well, I guess I have to come to church. Oh, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Oh, I hope they get done soon so I can go home. God, I love you. You didn't even know what you just said. I love you? If you tell your spouse you love them like that, they're going to be like, what? You yawned when you said it and you didn't even look at me? But yeah, we do that at church. In the New Testament in Revelation, God speaks to one of the churches. He said, you guys have done a lot of things well, but there's one thing. You've left your first love. Oh, repent. And once again, do those things you did with your first love. What does he mean by that? Do you remember what it felt like when you were first saved and forgiven? Do you remember what it felt like and how you responded? You responded with joy. You didn't care what anybody thought about you. You may be cried, you may be danced, you may be shouted. You did not care because you loved him. When you love someone this much, you don't care what others think about you because it's not about you, it's about the one you love. Church is not really about us, it's about the one we love. When you truly love the Lord with all your heart, you look for opportunities to publicly honor and love him. That's called church. Let me give you some marriage advice. When you truly love your spouse, look for ways to show it publicly as well as privately. If your partner only acts or says they love you when nobody else is looking, are you going to feel that they love you? No. Would you? Love should be public. And that's why we love him at church. Because we were created to worship him together, not alone. I'm going to say a statement here some might not like, but you're here, so you'll be okay with it. If you're choosing to avoid church, you have a love problem, not a church problem. If you are choosing to stay away from church, you have a love problem, not a church problem. What do I mean by that? Well, I can love the Lord, sure. But according to Scripture, the one who loves much is the one who loves publicly, unashamed of how they look. So to love much, you're going to go somewhere where you can publicly show it. And if you've decided that no church is good enough for you, then it's all about you and what you like, and that is not love. That is selfishness. You don't have a church problem, you have a love problem. And the love problem is that you love you more than you love him. Someone say, ouch. But it's okay, you're here. If you're listening to this on the podcast, say ouch and come to church next week. Woo! God will call you and place you in a church if you're a believer. And it will not always be perfect. It will not always be what you think is best. But if he placed you there, then you better love him with everything you got right there. Because it's not really about you. I'm going to say it one more time so you don't forget it. If you're choosing to avoid or not go to church, you have a love problem, not a church problem. And the love problem is that you love you more than you love him. Let me say something. Would it be love and worship if you only did it when it's perfect? Do you only love your spouse when everything's perfect? Nothing's uncomfortable? That's not love. Love goes forward and does what's necessary no matter what. And when do you feel the most loved? When it's the toughest, but your partner does it anyways. I think I should pick on the men a little bit. Men, you show love to your woman and you show it even when it's tough. And you know when they feel it the most? It's when you showed it when there was no reason to show it. Do you know when my wife loves flowers the most? It's not her birthday. It's not Valentine's Day. And there's no special occasion. It means 10 times more to her. Do it. When it's tough, get to church and love him. That's the greatest kind of love there is. When you do it, when you don't feel like it. So love. Love him, love one another. You know, love can grow cold or lukewarm, even in church situations and relationships. But I'm trying to keep this more to why do Christians regularly attend church. Revelation 3, verse 15, the Holy Spirit was actually speaking to a church. So I think this fits our why do believers attend church regularly. He says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other, but since you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Church, can I say this, please? Don't get lukewarm in your attitude towards serving God. And I have found this over the years. When someone's love becomes lukewarm to the Lord, they begin attending church less. Did you know it? And there's always excuses, there's always reasons. So-and-so said this, somebody did this. There's always a reason, but it's a love problem. And they come less and less. The passion disappears. The boldness and the, whoa, Jesus, goes. And pretty soon it's more of a, thank you, Jesus, for my food. Oh, Lord, protect me on this trip. They still know Jesus is real. They still would say, I love him, but they're lukewarm. Well, I would go to church, but, you know, I found a reason not to. I mean, nobody says that, but that's what happens. Oh, let's go to church. Oh, my back, I better rest. Well, there's some passion. Hey, if you planned a date night with your spouse and you had a little runny nose, you'd blow your nose and go on the date night. At least you better. If you're like, oh, I was going to go, dear, but the sniffles. Oh, a little backache, I would have went. Well, I was going to go, but, you know, so-and-so called and you know, they want me to have some hot dogs on the barbecue, so I'm going to do that instead. You're going to be in trouble. Am I right here? Any wives are like, oh, that's fine. I don't care. Dude, let me just poke a little bit here. I might get in trouble. Do any of you go on date nights with your spouse? Put your hand up if you go on date nights. Date nights don't have to be expensive. Date nights show you love. You purposely get out of your usual space and you go somewhere public and you show the whole world that sees you, I'm in love with this person. I'm giving you some marriage tips right now that are important. You make time to do this, you get out of your usual space, and you go where everybody can see, this is the person I love. That's church as well, my friend. You get out of your usual space. You get your hair on and your face and whatever you need to do. You take the time and you go somewhere together because you love him and you're not ashamed to show it. I gotta start wrapping up here today. You see, Christians regularly attend church because we were created to worship him. And you know something? God created us to worship him, and back in the Garden of Eden, there was an issue where sin came in and our relationship with the Father was broken. And true worship couldn't happen like it was meant to, but Jesus came and fixed that problem. And Scripture says they looked ahead to him in the Old Testament, so their relationship was built by looking ahead to the Savior. We look back to the Savior and we receive what he did. Colossians 1:20 says it like this. It says, through him, talking about Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Reconciled means brought back, made right. You and I can come and worship because of what Jesus did on the cross. You see, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. All right. Church, we come together because we were created to worship him. We can truly worship him when we've accepted his gift of salvation. Because then we're made right with the Father. Everything that separated us is taken away by the blood of Jesus, and true worship can happen. So I need to ask this tonight. Maybe you're here and you have never asked Jesus to forgive you, to come into your life and make you whole. You will never understand true worship if you haven't done this. You will never be in right relationship with the Father here and now or in the future. But the good news is Jesus paid the price. He said it's free, and all you need to do is receive it. And then he makes it clear how we receive it. It's by faith. In other words, if you believe it. And Romans goes a little further and says, if you believe it in your heart that Jesus paid that price and he was risen from the grave, then use your words, confess it, and you are saved. So here tonight, I'm going to ask all of you to join me for that one or two that may be here for the first time praying this. And we're going to pray a little prayer that just lets us use words to say, okay, God, I believe you. If this is real, I want it. I need it. So if you'll repeat this prayer after me, and I'm going to ask you all to join for that one or two that may not have done this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. I thank you. I'm made right by you. Amen.